Please, sir.
Just laughed at Jesus when he said she's only sleeping. But as he took her by the hand, she began to live again. Some began to praise the Lord, some began to say, that he's in the house. Death had to flee. Now there is light where only darkness used to be. Now there is hope. There's no more doubt. Praise His name. He's in the house. I was like that little girl, dead in all my sin. But Jesus touched this heart of mine, and He gave me life again. I am just a house of clay, but ever since that blessed day, there's a light that shines in me for all the world to see. Death had to flee. Now there is light where only darkness used to be. And now I have hope. There's no more doubt. Praise His name. Praise His name. He's in the house. Death had to flee. Now there is light where only darkness used to be. Now I have hope. There's no more doubt. Praise His name. He's in the house.
Turning your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Church, I want you to remind me of something before this service is over. Can I trust you? I guess impartial I could. Church, can I trust you? I feel a little better. There's some Bibles that sit right here that I need to hand out before I leave here today. Can I trust in you to remind me? Now the charge is on you. Remind me. But right now I don't want to interrupt the Spirit of the Lord, because this morning I believe there is a stirring and a moving in our midst. And I believe that where Jesus said, where two or three more gathered in My name, there I am in the midst thereof. If Jesus is anywhere this morning, I believe that He is at Lebanon Church. And sometimes you speak in His presence. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you laugh in His presence. Sometimes you cry. Sometimes you stand. Sometimes you bow. But in all cases, worship the Lord. Always. It's amazing to me how my message changed this week. And now I see why. I was going to preach to you what God had, I believe, put on my heart. And that message was to preach the very last recorded sermon of the Lord Jesus Christ that He gave to us. How significant every message He ever gave, every word He ever spoke, were for us and not for Himself, because He already knows the Word because He is the Word. But Friday night, I was woke up in the middle of the night. And some of you I know do that on regularity. I do not. When I go to sleep, I go into a coma. It happens very quickly. As the minute I lay down, I am gone. And I sleep hard. Very hard. And for me to wake up in the middle of the night is a big and very disturbing deal to me. Well, at 3:21, Friday night, going into Saturday morning, I was woke in fear. And I had this message together, the outline, and there are so many things involved in getting a message together, as many of you know. And you feel like you're on cloud nine if your message is together and you're ready. It is such a load to get to that point, but then such a burden to get to the point in which you preach it. I don't know if there's anybody more loaded than the preacher is before the message, and I don't know of anybody who is more unloaded after Sunday morning service. Because it is just a time to just say, ah. And I sat there, and the Lord allows things to happen, like He did with Job. He never harmed Job. He just believed in Job. He believed that Satan could not come back to him and put his finger in his face, as Satan and the sons of God do still meet with him. Go to Job 1, you'll know where you and I are certainly a topic of conversation between the spiritual warfare that goes on around us, even as we speak. And that changed my heart in the old sanctuary. I preached that on a Sunday morning. That opened my eyes. It was an eye-opening experience to where Satan, and God asked him, "Where'd you come from?" He said, "I was walking up and down, to and fro, in and out of the earth." So he's loose. And he is the prince of this world. And he has a throne. We believe this in the Middle East. But he is not omnipresent. He cannot be everywhere all the time, because that is a feature of our God, and he does not have that. Our God is everywhere all the time. He's even around you, but maybe we haven't noticed that yet. But also our God is omniscient. He is all-knowing. He is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. But Satan can only be in one place at one time. Satan does not know your thoughts. He only knows what you've said and what you have done, and he uses that to counteract. He is not omniscient, because God is, and that is not what Satan can be. So he doesn't know your thoughts. He just knows when we go through a lot of tough times, we mumble and grumble. Therefore, he knows exactly what you're going through. And now he uses that to counteract your living, where you should have been praising God through the storm. And that's all Satan would have heard, and that's all he would know about you. So not only are you mumbling and grumbling against what God is trying to do in your life, but you are giving your adversary the medicine that it takes to overcome you. Remember that next time you get ready to complain. And I realized that Satan and a third of the angels were cast out of heaven. Hell was created for them, not for you and I. But because of sin, We're on our way there unless we take the alternative. And that alternative and only alternative is Jesus. Now, Satan being our adversary, he is described as a serpent, as a lion, as a dragon. But also, what I want you to see this morning, the angel of light. We can run from a dragon, we can run from a lion. We'll even run from a serpent. But we have the tendency, even as believers, to stand not in the light of the world, but in the angel of light. So, the other morning I woke up at 3:21. That is very relevant that you make note of that. And I was scared to death. See, we have to understand as believers in an Almighty God that we do have an adversary called Satan, Beelzebub, the devil. And he is like that lion who is seeking whom he may devour. And what I want you to understand this morning is this. He wants you. Because he cannot overcome God. If he could have, he would have done it way back when Satan was kicked out. He would not be waiting till now or till the Battle of Armageddon. He would have done it then. Because if you understand the nature of Satan, what he does very rapidly and very destructively. Therefore, that would lead us to believe that he would have done that on that war that was in heaven that we read about in Revelation. So the best way that he can hurt the heart of God is to claim the very reason in which the Son of God died. And you are the reason. So therefore, Satan don't care nothing about you, but he knows if he can claim your life, then he's hurt the very heart of the one he could not overcome. So he works and he moves. And at 3:21 the other night, he was in my dream. I've had dreams about the devil and the pitchfork and the old man in red. But that is not the picture of Satan. This is just some imagery that mankind has drew up, and it just fits the bill. But this, my dear friend, please understand on this day, that is not the picture or the image of Satan that you should have, because it is not. Too many people look for that image, and it is only when that image appears do they get scared. But you need to know that he comes in many forms, fashions, and that he is working even in this hour. Now, that being said, at 3:21 the other morning, he woke me up and I was scared to death. But I want to tell you who woke me up. It was not God. Satan woke me up. I share this with you because you need to know the real life stuff. And some of you, I believe, in this congregation are experiencing some of the same similarities because you are striving to serve God and you are trying to be counteracted. Therefore, at 3:21 the other morning, I woke up and my dream was this, and this is not the first time this has happened. It has happened with regularity but sporadic. It comes and goes, but the 3:21 is a constant number that is in my dream. The very minute I wake my eyes up from this dream, it is always 3:21. Now, me with my mind and the way I think, sometimes it's crazy, sometimes it's good, but mostly crazy, I think 3:21 is a bit of a countdown. I believe that has relevance. Well, 3:21 comes, and now I see where Satan is in my dream. It is so powerful that it changes the message that I have this week. Satan did not change it. God did by allowing Satan to tempt me. So therefore, Satan wakes me up, and this is what I see. A man is standing outside my house, very calm, very collect, very rational, very caring, it would seem. And his interest is in me. He is talking to my wife on the front porch and stroking the head of my children, inquiring about me. Now, I don't try to scare some of you, because some of you are saying, boy, I'm not going to be a Christian if that's going to happen. See, no, you need to come to an understanding this morning. The very one who's in my dream is in control of your complete life. That should scare your pants off this morning. See, the one who appears in my dream and is trying to get to me is already the Father of your life. That is scarier than my dream. And it's reality, and I would take it in this morning as a sponge would water. So I stand there and I see this dream, but I can see through him where my family cannot. The Holy Spirit tells me who he is. It is no relevance that my family is not spiritual. It's just that he's after me and he's not after them. And I wake up at 3:21 the other morning, scared to death. Roll up, looking around my house because I fell asleep in the recliner. Not because I'd been a bad boy, but because I chose to sleep there. And I get there and I see where I'm looking around, and the figures that come to my eyes and my vision is very foggy and distorted. And I'm just seeing things. No, I did not see him. But I see where Satan was as real in my dream as he is in our lives today. And I saw where he's trying to get to me, and I wake up and I begin quoting scripture from my heart. One after the other. Ones I've preached on, ones I've studied, and I'm coming out, I'm standing up, and I'm trembling, and I'm shaking, and I'm quoting scripture one after the other. And especially the most important one, calling upon the name of Jesus and telling Satan that he's got to flee because of the power and the glory and the righteousness of the one so great, Jesus. You may not be a believer of Jesus this morning, but you need to know as an individual, and I owe you this, as real as the corruption is in this world, it is tempted and led by the prince of this world. His name is Satan. But just as real as he is, Jesus Christ is as well. And somewhere we sit in between, and understanding if you straddle the fence for any length of time, it gets very uncomfortable. And if you are lukewarm, you make God sick on his stomach, because he says, I spew you from my mouth, that lukewarm water. You make God throw up. So you're either hot or cold. You either are or you ain't. You is or you're not. And you need to find out where you stand this morning. Who is your allegiance to? No allegiance goes directly to Satan. Your allegiance has to be to one or the other. I am not telling you this to scare you. This is my dream. It wasn't yours. But what happens this morning at 3:21? Yet again, I wake up. Not with a dream this time, but just in fear. Because I know that he's there. Seeking whom he may devour. I'm having dreams about him. But some of you are living for him. And that is not a dream. That is a nightmare. So, my message changed this morning. You understand why. To Ephesians 6. And how I need to be reminded of the armor that my God gives me to withstand the wiles of the devil. If you will stay with me, I will talk fast. I may give out of breath. I may collapse. But if I do, y'all keep on serving the Lord. It's amazing how the presence of the Lord is so strong this morning, but our topic is about Satan. That is not a coincidence. But when you are weak, he is at his strongest. But this morning, Ephesians 6, chapter 6, and look at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, and someone from this church give me a clock that says this very verse. Praise you. Bless you. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He did not say you would fight against the devil, but you would be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. It is not you who fights the Lord, it is Christ in you who fights Satan. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh. Watch this verse and we will explore here or expound later on. For we wrestle not against the flesh and blood, but this is where our fight is. But we do not wrestle against the flesh and the blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This morning, you must understand, as people of this church, visitors alike, this morning we have come in to this church, but there is one audience this morning, and His name is Jesus. There is no style in this church this morning, but there is one Savior. And this morning we have come gathered together to worship the Lord, to exalt Him, to understand, to search out and dig out the truth and the riches, the wisdom that this book has for us to understand. But I, above all things, want to magnify the name of Jesus this morning. For if He is lifted up, He will draw man nigh unto Him. And this morning, if we need anything in our life, it is not another Christmas list. It is not any more turkey, thank you. But I'll tell you this morning, it is a dose of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. And we must not lose sight of why the holidays are here. If I catch anybody in here telling somebody happy holidays, you'll be banned from here for life. I can do that, but that is not Christ's nature. It is Merry Christmas. Amen?
Sometime you can have fun with this. And I'm having a ball. I stopped at the store once and told them, I know the X, you know, stands in some languages and cultures, it stands for Christ, but not in America. I stopped at the store and I said, hey, babe, look here. You got to change that. And I was over in a hole in the wall, a good place to be from. But they had enough to have a store. And I said, hey, that X out there on that sign, I said, that's got to be gone. Well, what do you mean? I said, you're Xing out Christ. And they said, oh, I didn't even see that. I said, oh, I see it. You know why I didn't see it? Because the father of deception had them blinded to the fact. Well, I had to tell my manager, I said, you do it or I will. I said, that's got to go. I said, I trust when I ride by here in the morning to get my orange juice and my Twinkie for breakfast that you will have that changed over to Christmas and not Xmas. And guess what happened the next morning? Glory. Hey, Christ was back in the spot that He should be. I love it. Because, see, you must understand, to be born of God means that you have already overcome this world. And who were they to tell me Christ could not be put? If I had to go to jail, at least I'd know I'd been leaving that sorry county and going to a good one. Amen. They didn't even have a jail. But I'll tell you what they got on their marquee sign. Christmas. And what we need to do this morning, more so than putting Christ back on a marquee sign, we need to put Christ where He needs to be, back in your heart. Because, see, what we have done is we have put brand X over where Christ is supposed to stand in you. And I challenge you this morning, put Christ back where He belongs and let Him rule and reign your life. Be strong is the title of this message, and I want to share with you now one of the biggest warnings that we must heed to this morning. I'm going to try to drive it home. And I pray for God's Holy Spirit to breathe upon each and every soul in this building. The greatest danger in Christianity, I believe, at this present time is this. We are seeking and searching and digging out the truths of this Word. We are going to church more than ever before because there is a recession in this country. And people are scared. And if that's bringing people to the fold of God, so be it.
And I would rather go to heaven poor, you know, than to go to hell rich. And I want to tell you this morning that this word is something that people are inquiring about. People are in church today where they never would have dreamed it 2 years ago. And to God be the glory. But I see here where we are going to church and Sunday school, starting to become, you know, a regular attendant of God's house. And I see where folks are going to Bible studies, even at their homes and abroad. But I wanted to share something with you this morning that you must examine in your own life and understand that this is the case in many believers. That we are taking and soaking that knowledge of this book into our heads. But somehow or another, it is not trickling to the heart. We have headstrong Christians, and we do not have heart-strong Christians. Now, of course, I'm not talking about any of us. I'm referring to the others. But we have a knowledge. There are people who are well-versed, people who know the Word of God, and who are not living it. That indicates you have a knowledge in your mind, but you do not have that heartfelt experience of the very knowledge that stands in your mind. And somehow or another, we've got to get what you know to grow. And you do that by planting it in your heart. So therefore, how can we transition from what we know in our minds to our hearts? Let me give you an example of why we are not growing it, what we know. We are preaching and teaching and hearing exalted words of God. But we live so low as Christians. Another example. There are people in this world who are very holy and righteous on Sundays and are well-versed and very knowledgeable in the Word of God, but do not live it in between meetings. You know what that indicates? Their mind is soaked and started the application of God's Word was through the mind, but it has not filtered to the heart. And you know why? Because they have not given it all to Him. Therefore, declaring that there are strongholds in the life of one who tries to understand the riches of this word. It gets to here and never makes it to here. I'll give you an example. You know Rocky Balboa, don't you? Everybody knows Rocky. I know it's a movie. But indulge with me for a moment. I love Rocky, boy. You get them things back to back to back. Don't think I won't sit there and watch. I love Rocky. But I'll tell you what. You want to know what makes Rocky Balboa get up when he has been beat and battered and wounded and whipped? It's not what's in his mind that makes him stand. But it is what's in his heart that brings him to his feet. Amen? And what we need is more heart in Christianity. And not so much thinking about what is right or wrong, or should I do this or do that, when we should be living what God has tried to put in our hearts. Therefore, when you are bruised and battered, wounded and whipped by the adversary, because there are battles to be fought, but there are also victories to be won. And heart will bring you to your feet, and your mind will leave you collapsed because you are there because of what you thought. And the thinking process takes place in the mind. And the heart will make you stand up because the heart is not about knowing, but it is about feeling to do what's right. So why is there such careless Christianity? Careless. And why are we living so low
as the conquerors of this life. Because it is still in your mind, and that is where you're serving God from. You are not serving Him from the very source in which He chooses and pleases Him to reside. So how can we change that? Do you want to change that? So many times we forget where the spiritual battles are being fought. Can I submit something to you? I don't even know if we'll get sued about this. Al, if it is, we'll mark this off the DVD. But devil wasn't at Club 231 last night. You might have been, but he wasn't. The Satan was not at Club Kryptonite last night. Satan wasn't at Trophy Club last night. He was in the bed early last night because he was getting prepared to make his appearance at the spiritual front of God's work this morning. So many times we say, Lord, shut that liquor store down. Lord, run these clubs out of town. They are not what we are. They are not a part of God's Word. They are not part of God's works. When we are forgetting where the battle is being fought. The battle is being fought on the spiritual front lines. They are being fought in the churches. They are being fought in your homes. That is where Satan is. And if we will start worrying about shutting out the strongholds in our Christian lives and stop worrying about shutting down the strongholds that we think he has on the clubs and the bars, we need to re-examine and we need to focus and dial in where is our enemy and how will we fight him. And instead of worrying about shutting the liquor store down in Effingham, maybe you need to work on shutting down your mouth from gossip and hurting people. Because that is hurting people more than that liquor store is. And he's not at the liquor store. He is not in the midst of the sin. Because he already has them. He needs not tarry there. He is working where he has not conquered. And that place is in the local church. That place is in these devotions that you're having at home with your children. I pray to God you are. Because if you are not, you are losing your generation. And the generation to come is being lost. And we believe that Satan is working and lurking in these other bad places, but he is working in your house. And he is working in your dreams. And he is working in your church. And because we have lost sight of where he is working, we do not fight. If I know the battle tomorrow is at the courthouse, then that's where I'll go and fight. But if I forgot that the battle was this morning at Lebanon Church, I come without my armor. I come without preparation. Therefore, my adversary sideswipes me and knocks me flat on my back because I did not pay attention to him. He is fighting where he has not conquered. And stop worrying about all these organizations that are crooked and evil because understand one thing, that is God's job to shut them down. You got to do what's possible and leave the impossible to the Lord Jesus Christ. And put more emphasis and more focus on where your adversary is. He is not there. He is here. He was in the bed earlier than you probably were last night getting prepared and ready. Not to worship, but to disrupt it. And I could show you sometime if I couldn't hurt anybody's feelings. How he works through people. See, if you would give me the liberty of standing up sometime exactly when he shows his face through the people, I can show you.
I can say, there he is. And somebody say, who what? Say, huh? But there he is. And he's working through the stronghold that he has in your life, and it is coming out through you. It comes out of your body like sweat does through a pore. And you're struggling to serve a God Almighty, doubting if He's ever there. And the very reason we are suffering is because we do not know where our adversary is, and we do not give him the attention that he should have. See, we should understand that you are not the one to fight the battle, because your name will become victim. But it is the Lord Jesus Christ who fights through us. An example of that, what was the safest place in Jerusalem on the night that Jesus Christ was arrested? The Pharisees' house. The safest place. The hypocrites, Jesus called it. That was the safest place on that night. Bizarre, isn't it? You want to know what was the most unsafest place for Satan to congregate? The upper room where they were holding church. Who came into the upper room and filled Judas Iscariot? Satan. Where was the devil at? Could they have been in the upper room saying, God help those people. They're hypocritical people. God help them. God, they're on their way to destruction. God, you've got to do something about that. When he was in your very presence, even perhaps filling you up with his presence. How's the expression go about sweeping behind your own door? Everybody's brooms are new at their house. You can believe that. Amen? Ain't no need buying no broom around there. Unless you use the handle to put a whooping on somebody. But I'll guarantee you them bristles ain't hurt. Because people sweep behind my door and your door and everybody else's door. But they don't sweep it, they have. You know why? Because the devil's everywhere else except with them. But truth be known, they may very well be living the stronghold of Satan in their life. Glory! I love it. Amen? I just want to bite on something right now. I just want to, you know, I just praise the Lord. You ever had somebody come up to you and say, I just want to bite you? I hope I'm not the only one that's ever been through that. I just want to bite something. You ever been there? That has absolutely no relevance, does it, Brother Mike? No, it doesn't. Be gone, Satan! Amen, he's got to go. And don't you believe I wasn't screaming at my living room the other night? I said, sucker, look at him. There's the door. Because I knew I was fixing to call on one who will make the devil leave my house. But if I forget and lose sight of where the battles are being fought, I can never be a conqueror through him. Wake up. Pay attention. And for God's sake, stop worrying about everybody else. You will not change most people with your mouth. You will change them with your actions. If you want these people to change, you live the Word of God with all of your being. And you give it to the Lord and follow Him. If we can learn that today, spiritual victories will be won like you have never seen before. I want to share with you now as we're closing out. You know I'm halfway through when I say that. Here we go. I want to give you three enemies. Very quickly. I want you to have a Canaan experience with me for a minute. Will you go with me? Number one,
Joshua, the very moment he crossed over Jordan River, he came into Canaan land, and the very first enemy was Jericho. Jericho represents the world in your life today. The world represents what we should not be entangled with. We should not be caught up in the affairs thereof, because you cannot walk through this world and conquer everything. Because the Lord told Joshua and the Israelites, don't think you're going to walk right into this mighty city and fight and be victorious. But you will follow my directions very specifically, very out of the ordinary. But when you walk around that city in these 7 days' time, exactly precisely when I tell you to and how I tell you to, the walls will fall flat and you will be victorious as the Israelites. And we need to take that to heart this morning. Jericho in Canaan was the first enemy that they saw. And it's the very first one you see as you're born into this world. You're born into the very enemy in which you are called to stand and fight. But you must do it God's way, or you will be defeated and live a careless Christian life. You cannot conquer the things of this world. It is only through the Lord Jesus Christ that we are able to overcome what we need to overcome in this world. Everybody's fight is not yours. So don't mingle. And don't waste your time. You know how wore out I would be if, just say today, me and Brother Vince are going to have a boxing match after service. All right, me and him's going to put our gloves on and our headgear and we're going to go at it. But do you understand how fatigued and how my stamina would be so decreased if I stood here and beat on this wall for 30 minutes straight and then climb in a ring with him? He would wear me out, knock my lights out, be gone in the first round. And do you know what happens with Christians? You're fighting, knocking your head against a wall, got your gloves on, boxing on something that you are not going to overcome, nor are you going to win. And by the way, this wall has already been overcome because it's dead. And the very things that you've got your gloves on fighting against in this life, Jesus has already conquered. So stop fighting what has already been conquered. And put your gloves on and fight with the Lord Jesus Christ in where He calls you. Because there, even though this world has been overcome, there are people who never have been. So stop wasting yourself and get out of the ring that you're in and climb into one God's called you to be in. Number two, Ai, the very second enemy in Canaan. Are you with me? Ai represents the flesh. What happened when Joshua and the Israelites were more than conquerors at Jericho? They underestimated the small place of the Ai. Guess what we do with our flesh? We underestimate its potential and the damage it can cause. We believe that we are in control of our lives as non-believers, but we are underestimating the Ai in our life. Ai is nothing to be underestimated or taken for granted, my dear friend. Because I will tell you this morning that when He sent a battalion of the Israelites into Ai, several died, and they run back with their tail tucked between their legs, because they had been defeated and overcome simply because they took it for granted. And guess what's happening in your lives as you sit in this pew and you get ready to face Monday morning if God will give it to us? You think what you're doing, you got a hold on it. You're already plotting and planning some things that you already know that little angel on your shoulders done told you, just get out of it, stop it, don't go no further. But the other one says, yes, you can. Yes, you can. And we use what is not good preaching, but it sounds good to the flesh, that anybody can do anything. But they forgot the part there where it says that we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. It is His way or no way. Like it and begin to love it, because it is the only way. Jericho represents the world.
Ai represents the flesh. And when we look at it and do not pay attention to it, it has a tendency of hurting and killing us and those around us, and we suffer. Number three, and final point, the Gibeonites. The Gibeonites were a group of people that we find in Joshua 9 who represent the very one that I have put emphasis on this morning, and that is Satan. I'm talking low because I want you to hear me. The Gibeonites came with features. They came with a very good attitude. They came offering their service. Very helpful. Told they believe in the very God that Israel served. And were told they came from a far off place, but they were just over the hill. And they said, we need to make an alliance with you. We'll be your servant. And after Joshua pondered a bit, talked a bit, he made an alliance with the Gibeonites. And from that moment forward, while that allegiance was intact, there were troubles. There were problems. It is because the Gibeonites were not who they said they were. And they came to him like Satan comes to you. Satan will not come to you with the pitchfork all dressed in red. But he will come to you because he is the father of deception, which means he deceives us. And what he'll tell you is this, I'll help you, I'll take care of you, everything's all right. And you know us being desperate people at times, we use desperate measures and we take that. And we form that alliance, that allegiance with him. And I will tell you this morning, it is possible as a believer of God to make an allegiance with Satan. Was Joshua a man of God? Did he form an alliance with the evil? You want to know what's happening today in Christianity and why it's so carelessly used? Why we have fundamental thinking but have too much liberal thinking in our footwork? It is because we have received the Lord Jesus Christ. We are seeking out His knowledge and His riches, and we put them in our head, but we have not put them in our heart. And because of that, the angel of light, Satan, represented as the Gibeonites in this Canaan experience, is consuming me. And you tell me why we can't come into a service like this and feel the very presence of God. But tomorrow we will live like the devil. And you want to know why? It's because we're like a split personality. We're here today because we believe it is the right and decent thing to do because we are believers in one so great. But because of that stronghold or stronghold in your life, you will never be more than what you are right now. You are not a conqueror because you do not believe in your heart what it is you've been told in your mind. And what you've got to do this morning in this service is say, God, fix my heart. It's amazing how the psalmist David says, I'm fixed. I'm fixed. His heart was fixed. And because of that, I want to share this with you. And I'm going to ask Miss Gail if she will make her way. We're not going to sing a song this morning. But we will have a bit of an invitation. The psalmist sings this. Therefore my heart is glad. Where do we rejoice from? It's from our heart. Not from your head. My heart shall not fear. You know what I was thinking with the other night when I woke up at 3:21 in the morning? My head.
not my heart. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. You know why we don't rejoice and we walk around all booger lipped with the mully grubs? Hear me now, because I'm telling you, you cannot tell the difference in these Christian people in the world today. You can't. So why does anybody want to be a Christian? Why do you want to go to church? All you ever talk about is your petitions. You never talk about your praise. I wouldn't be one either. I delight to do thy will, O my God, for the law is within my heart. Have you really taken the things you believe in your mind and applied them to the tables of your heart, not written by pen, but written by the spiritual hand of God? My flesh and my heart faileth, but my God is the strength of my heart. You know where your strength comes from? Most people's mind. But when they get wounded and weary and fatigued, our defenses are down. Therefore, we have nothing to counteract the one who is trying to counteract us. For I am poor and needy. My heart is wounded within me. You know what the feelings this morning? You know why it's not getting to the heart? Because your hearts have been wounded through someone or something. And it's left a mark on you. But look, can I tell you what happened? Praise be to God. David says, my heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. You know what happens when your heart gets fixed? Can I share it with you this morning? For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you all out of the country and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. How many of you need a cleaning this morning? How many of you need to be cleansed? I dare to say there's a few, if not more. You need to be washed with the water, given that life from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart, not a repaired one, not a fixer-upper, but I'll give you a new heart also I will give you. Doesn't stop there. A new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. You know why a lot of information doesn't get to your heart? Because it's full of rocks. You're stone cold and you're proud of it. And I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgment and do them. Let me give you an indication. Here goes a heart check this morning. Are you doing and keeping the statutes of God? Is the law of God the way you live your life? Are you defeated and know that you are this morning because God's already pointed that out to you? Can I submit to you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, that there's one who sits in a throne, alive and well. When He sees you, He sees nothing more than your heart, not your head. And He's got exactly what you need this morning. Because He was sent to make the crooked straight. To gather up the broken that it may be fixed. And His Father took pleasure in beating His body, bruising the body of His Son for you and I. So if He beat His Son in order to make us complete, we're going to let that go by us? Or we're going to stand up in our pews this morning and say, God, I know what I need to do. Fix my heart. Fix my heart. Will you stand with me?
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I believe God's already spoke to whom He will speak. I want to ask you this morning. I just need you this morning. You may be a Christian for 50 years. You may have been a Christian just yesterday. You may want to be a Christian on this day because you know that you need to be strong in the Lord and not strong in yourself. And God has spoke to you. Who will step out from where they are this morning and say, God, give me a new heart? You know, even as Christians, our hearts get full of rocks because of circumstances. Maybe this morning you need a new heart and a new start. You step out from where you are this morning right now. Come on. Come on. The Father is tugging at your heart. Will you give Him the very thing that He's pulling from? Praying. Some have chose to come and kneel at an altar. Christian, listen to me. Are you living defeated? I believe we are. Do you know that there is a King of Kings? Leslie, will you come and pray with our dear lady? I believe that it would be overwhelming to know what we do as reconstructed Christians as it would to be careless Christians. Tell me this morning that you as a believer don't leave these services on cloud nine and some way, somehow, by Tuesday morning you've lost every ounce of spiritual. You know what that tells me? You've lost sight of where the battles are to be fought. And you've lost sight that these victories are to be given to us. And I'll tell you what you need this morning. You need to come before an Almighty God and say, God, fix me. Restore me. I know we've got to go, and as some are praying here this morning, I'm convinced that there are some that need to make things right before they go. So I want to share with you this quick story about my son. My son told me just a couple of weeks ago there was a toy he had. He came to me very humbly and he said, Daddy, fix it. Daddy, fix it. And I said, well, give me a minute. And he walked off in frustration because he didn't get what he wanted when he wanted. You know what I did? I took the time that was given to me and I fixed his toy. And you know what he did when I gave it back to him? He grinned from ear to ear. And he was so happy. And you know what's going on this morning in this church service? You want to know why it's not breaking loose like it ought to? You've got your toys in your hand. They're broke. And for some reason or another, you won't walk to your Father and say, Father, Father, fix what is broken that I may enjoy. So you stand there with your heart broken, afraid to ask the Father to fix what is broken. Therefore, we will leave here in the same condition in which we came. I want to give you one last call. If God has spoken to you, will you come? Just step out from where you are. I'll take you by the hand if you've never been here before. I don't know if you've ever been here. I'll receive you with open arms and give you just a small picture of what God will do for you today. Will you come? Last call. God's speaking to hearts. Will you respond?